From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 20th, 2009. Each week, Directions Media editors discuss the latest news, trends, and technology related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This past week, the geospatial technology community saw layoffs and product disruptions at Autodesk, Intergraph, and Google. At the same time, the community learned that industry players were taking the case for GIS for the Nation to Capitol Hill, advocating it be part of the incoming administration's stimulus package. We'll explore the downside of layoffs and product disruptions and the possible upside of geospatial stimulus in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Now, Joe, let's begin with the job cuts and changes in products and services that were announced this past week. It all started on Wednesday when we learned that Intergraph, effective January 13th, had begun a program to reduce its workforce. It's going to reduce it by about 5%. That's about 200 of Intergraph's 4,000 worldwide employees. And from what I've read, that about 68 of those are in Huntsville, Intergraph's headquarters down where you are. And let me remind listeners that Intergraph went private back in 2006. And frankly, we haven't had the opportunity to talk about Intergraph because it's been very quiet. Now, on Thursday, Autodesk announced a layoff of 750. That's about 10% of its worldwide workforce, along with some facility consolidations. And in the same announcement, it noted that it had sold off the location services business to Hale Capital Partners, a private equity firm. Also on Thursday, Google announced that it was going to shutter Dodgeball, the geosocial network that it acquired in 2005. And for those not familiar with Dodgeball, Google describes it as a mobile social network service that lets you share your location with friends via text message. Google also announced that it was going to open source its Jiku tool, which it acquired. That's a Twitter-like communications tool. And finally, Google announced 100 layoffs of recruiters and the reassignment or release of about 70 engineers. Let's start with Intergraph. Joe, you're down in Huntsville. What's the sense of the layoffs down there?
I think it was not a big layoff. I think it was one to kind of take preventative measures for anything that may come about down the road with any reduced revenue that they encounter. Certainly the layoff at Autodesk was a lot larger, 10% of the workforce. Again, we're seeing an after-the-fact reaction, kind of a trailing economic indicator. Certainly the revenues will be lower in some of these fourth quarter numbers that the companies will release. So I think what we're seeing truly is just preventative measures here, just in case things really go sour.
Yeah, and in fact, these seem very late. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts with a lot of sort of startup CEOs, and they were making those changes months ago. But that may be a whole lot easier with a much smaller company.
Yeah, it seems that the IT industry is kind of a little bit behind. We also heard that Microsoft is considering layoffs. We heard on Friday that Intel had a huge decline in their quarterly numbers, the biggest that they had on record. So it's a malaise that's now beginning to spread through the IT industry.
Let me just ask you about the spinoff of Autodesk Location Services. That group always sort of had a special niche. It was put aside into another group aside from the geospatial group. The product was called Location Logic. It did reasonably well. There was some uptake from Sprint and Verizon and Telecom Italia Mobile, worked with some startups like Socialite and had a connection with JumpTap. So what's going to happen to it now that it's over at Hale Capital? Is it going to stay there? Are they going to sell it off? What do you think?
Like you said, it was kind of always a niche business, and looking at what came out from Autodesk, they didn't think it was a part of their core capabilities or needed to be in that part of the in Autodesk in general. What's going to happen to it, anybody's guess, but they did reasonably well. They had fairly large contracts with Verizon Wireless. But unfortunately, I think what we're seeing in the whole wireless location business is everybody's is taking this opportunity to have a big shakeout. Obviously, there's so much potential in location-based services at this point, that everybody is now going into the second wave beyond navigation and beyond turn-by-turn directions. Wired magazine just released their latest issue, big GPS spread all over the cover. It's not that these things are going to go away. I just think we're seeing perhaps a little bit of a shakeout right now.
Fair enough. And I guess we can't leave the Autodesk discussion without noting that former CEO Carol Bartz just got a new job as the CEO at Yahoo. Bartz is now 60, and while there's been many discussions within the industry about whether or not she's the right person for the job, I will stand firm and say that she's exactly the right person for the job, because Yahoo is having a business problem, and Carol Bartz is a business person. That's how she was successful at Sun. That's how she was tremendously successful at Autodesk. And I think she's, if it's going to get fixed, she can fix it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I've read all of the reports that came out in the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and some of the blogs out there, and I've always had a lot of respect for what Bartz did for Autodesk. Really upped the revenue over the 12 years that she was there, and she is a business person. She's got her hands full at this point. Whether it has anything to do with some of the location-based applications that Yahoo has, probably that's not something she's going to take on. I mean, she's got bigger problems right now. Lots of discussion about whether they're going to kick off the search part of the business to Microsoft. Something's going to happen, but you know that the shareholders are really disappointed that Yang didn't go through with that buy, that spinoff, way back when the stock was $33 a share.
Yeah, no, she's definitely got a work cut out for her. Finally, back to Google, I think many people were disappointed to hear that Dodgeball was going to get shut down and basically shuttered. My sense was that Google bought it with the best of intentions, saw the potential for location-based social networks, but maybe just wasn't, the timing wasn't right, and by the time they got into it, Looped and Brightkite were really making an inroads, and those have really become the two leaders in that space.
Yeah, and I think what also, as I just said, I think there is a little bit of a shakeout in that business, and like some things that Google has done, they'll buy some smaller companies, throw it up against the wall, see if it sticks.
And this one didn't. Okay, well, we've looked at the weeks past. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming down the pike in the future. Directions Media learned on Tuesday that ESRI had been in contact with legislators and was behind a proposal to include GIS for the Nation in the new administration stimulus package. All the details of the proposal are at gis.com/GIS Nation, and there you'll find the proposal, PowerPoint presentation, an ESRI for Government brochure. You can also read some endorsement letters from a few organizations that are supporting the effort. And to give you just a sense of what's in there, let me quote from some text from an ESRI written email. It says, a national GIS promises many benefits, including creating jobs, providing funding to the private sector, supporting state and local governments with planned infrastructure projects, and creating a series of base data for responding to local and national disasters. Some of the other key benefits include creation of 24,000 high-tech jobs, cost savings by making government more efficient, better decisions based on accurate and timely data, a more competitive America, stimulus money allocated by geography, transparency of funded projects. And that's the end of that quote. What I just told you is about everything that we know about this effort. And if you go to that website, that's the sort of the public face of this effort. And I should say, as we record this on Monday, our queries to ESRI about this whole effort, ESRI hasn't had the opportunity to respond or has chosen not to. We don't know which. Now, I'm fully aware that ESRI is a private company. It has no obligation to share the details of what it's doing with anybody. But I'm still kind of baffled by how this appeared out in the world and ESRI's communication strategy. And let me just say that the proposal itself seems to have been distributed to some individuals or groups. When I finally found a copy of it on the web and posted the URL, and this was to a link that was not the gis.com/GIS Nation one, somebody on Twitter commented back that they were glad to see that it had finally been posted because they weren't sure whether or not it was public or not. Clearly, the proposal had been out. There had been some discussion. Maybe there had been some requests for feedback. I don't know. I guess I'm just sort of baffled about the choice of communications or non-communications about such a big and important effort. And I have to say that this issue of transparency in our community doesn't come up that much. And part of the reason it doesn't come up is because some of the big players are public. So, for example, Autodesk. When Autodesk decided that it was going to lay off 750 people, it put out a press release that said that. It also said that they were going to spin off the LBS division and a few other things. When news of Intergraph's layoffs appeared out in the world, the company did come back and make a formal statement. And we're very much accustomed to the organizations within geospatial telling it like it is. I have to give a lot of credit to MAPS. They always tell the world what they're doing. Whether or not the world listens and reacts is a whole other story. COGO recently talked about its efforts with Congress, shared the letter that it sent to Congress. So transparency in general is not a problem. And I have to say, ESRI is a terrific communications company. If they want to communicate something to you, they do it very, very well. And in this case, they have chosen to communicate less. I'm sort of baffled and a bit disappointed about that. Joe, why did they do it this way?
Well, my perspective is that the issue wasn't directed at the general community. I think it seemed to have been directed at legislators, trying to get the attention of those who are controlling the purse strings of the stimulus package, and not at the broader geospatial community. And if it's an attempt to go after the stimulus, maybe they I think that that's what they had on their mind. It wasn't really communicating with the general geospatial community at large. I would have appreciated a briefing. In this case, because it is a large issue, because it's a problem facing the nation in terms of how geospatial technology can support the stimulus effort, this would have been an appropriate time to address the media, at least the technology media, and we as technology journalists, with this information so we could get it out to the broader community. In addition, there wasn't a forum, as you pointed out to me, for comment on this. And I think that was really lacking. There should have been a forum for comment from the broad community, and several people decided to do it on their own blog, but there wasn't a collective area. We got tons of comments on your blog report when this story broke, but even we probably aren't the appropriate forum to host all of these comments. It was something that perhaps ESRI or NGAC or COGO, but there was certainly something lacking there in terms of the communication effort.
Any effort to lobby Congress, it seems to me, does have some public face as well. And that was found in the original emails from which we learned of this effort, specifically requested contact your congressperson if you support this. And the fact that there are endorsements of it on the website, again, while the communications focus is toward legislators, it seems like there's also an outreach at some level to gain support of the geospatial community. And maybe it's specifically the ESRI community versus the broader geospatial community. And I think that may, frankly, cause some hard feelings. I know we've had challenges in the past in geospatial where organizations have seemed to represent the entire community without, in fact, its permission. And I don't know how this was brought to Congress, whether it was ESRI saying, we're ESRI, here's what we think, which would be fine. But anything other than that, that might have suggested further support of the community at large, you know, we don't know.
A better approach to the whole effort would have been get all of the major vendors involved and put forth a proposal that included other vendors, not just ESRI, perhaps Intergraph, MapInfo, Autodesk, certainly the open source community in geospatial technology, other firms that are pushing just more openness to get the broader community involved such that you get this groundswell of support that would push this further. And certainly more of these companies, certainly the larger companies, even somebody like Microsoft, GeoEye, Navtech, you know, these companies have a lot of contacts in the government because of their large government contracts, would have been better to have it supported from the broader geospatial community.
Right, and I think some of the feedback that popped up on different blogs, some in comments, some in dedicated posts in response to the proposal. There was some great thinking that went into those, and the most important piece of that that I've seen really relates to something that was missing, and that was addressing the nature of data created through such a program and the use of standards. So in particular, any data created would be widely and openly available for use, and it would be available via standards or using standard formats so that people could, again, take full advantage of it, have a greater impact on the economy.
I think that's the crux of the issue. And I think if people didn't read that from what was issued publicly, they're missing the whole point. I think it was more of a proposal to get a broader grid of geospatial data that more people can use. It wasn't about promoting a single GIS platform, and I think some people saw it that way. I saw it as a way to say, look, the fabric of the nation, the land parcel database, the street network, has to be in a form that's more standardized so that it can be used by the people who are going to implement the stimulus package plans. I think that's the real issue, and I'm not sure it came out in that proposal.
Yeah, the ideas of openness of data and openness of communications maybe are linked in some people's minds. If one is not open about communications, perhaps have less interest in openness of data and other things. So I guess my general thoughts here are that while I think it's terrific that ESRI and perhaps some other organizations, we just don't know, that put the effort into putting together the proposal and going to the Hill and doing the hard work and now requesting support of the community for it is terrific. I think from a communications standpoint, they might have done a better job. That's all the time we have for today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that early bird registration for the 2009 ESRI Developer Summit ends on February 6th. The summit will take place March 23rd to 26th in Palm Springs, California. It's the perfect opportunity to connect with ESRI staff and software developers from around the world. For more information and to register to attend, you can visit www.esri.com/devsummit. That's DEVSUMMIT. As always, if you want to comment on today's podcast, suggest topics for future podcasts, or critique or praise us, our email address is editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.